A 27-year-old law is still shaping the internet. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino. The Supreme Court gave a win to big tech yesterday and avoided weighing in on the limits of a key piece of tech law called Section 230. It shields internet companies from liability for user content, but has become a target for legal challenges and political attacks. Now, artificial intelligence tools are raising new questions. Former Congressman Chris Cox co-authored the law back in 1996 and says it's held up.
Because there are always trade-offs involved and no legislative solution will be perfect, in the main, the law has worked. And it has largely worked to ensure that people have an opportunity to post content and to read others' content in ways that they would not have had because no one would have been willing to take on that liability. In the 1990s, as today, there are trade-offs involved. And as Congress now looks at new cutting-edge issues, they're going to go through this same exercise anew, I think, and make new trade-offs that will hopefully protect free speech and hopefully give people more access to information, not less. But we'll see. We'll see where it all ends up.
Right. It feels like we're sort of at another inflection point with these new generative artificial intelligence tools like ChatGPT. In your view, does Section 230 protect speech generated by these tools?
The way it is written does not protect it because Section 230 proceeds on the certain premise that the content creator is liable. So ChatGPT literally makes things up, what they call hallucinations. You've got a couple things going on. One is you've got content creation. There's no question that the computer is creating some original content. And second, you've got falsehoods. Those are these sort of oily rags in the corner of the basement that are likely to become a fire. And we can see the harms that could come if this proceeds along the current path, and particularly if it were the case that the law somehow immunized those kinds of public falsehoods.
Let's take a specific real-world example. There was this situation reported in the Washington Post last month where ChatGPT generated some text saying that a specific law professor had sexually harassed one of his students. It cited a Washington Post article that was also a hallucination. None of it was true. I mean, what are the implications here when we consider whether Section 230 applies here? I mean, what could it mean for OpenAI, which makes ChatGPT?
Yeah, Section 230 clearly would not protect that. At least I say clearly in my view. That's just reading the statute, reading the words of it. That doesn't mean that it's not a problem. The fact it's that you can sue for it, that's delightful. But still, there are great questions about what about all of this misinformation that is being spewed out by these chatbots and what will be required is recognition on the part of the developers of these applications that there are existing laws and lots of them that will penalize them if they end up creating harm with their inventions. It's also important to rush in at this point in the discussion and say there are an enormous amount of really happy, good things that will come from this technology. So we don't want it to go away entirely. These great leaps in technology are at once terrific new friends and also, scary when one thinks what harms could come if the technology is used improperly.
Sam Altman, the CEO of OpenAI, was on Capitol Hill earlier this week. What did you make of his remarks?
It reminded me of the early days of talking about what became Section 230, when Democrats and Republicans were all at the sort of same starting line, trying to understand new technology. And it was a genuine inquiry, and people were humble. And I think that means that there's a good opportunity here for people to work together to come up with, as best as humanly possible, the right answers from a legal standpoint so that we can squeeze all the benefits we want out of this technology and minimize all the potential harms.
Misinformation and disinformation online have been a growing problem, one that many experts think AI will only make worse. I mean, do we have the tools to address that issue without, you know, holding tech companies accountable in these ways?
The volume of information is both a blessing and a curse. We have lots of sources of information. We have lots of access to, you know, the right to publish. But the flip side, of course, is that, you know, there's got to be some reality check with much of this information and the ease with which, you know, even foreign actors who want to interfere with elections or do us harm or what have you can manipulate information and a lie can get around the world, you know, before the truth gets its pants on, as the saying goes. You know, that's the flip side. But implicit in your question is that it would be a potential solution to say that the platform itself is accountable, which is to say the platform has to take responsibility for the truth or falsity of every piece of information that's posted. If that's the legal standard, then I'm afraid what would happen is that that information simply would never be posted in the first place. So there's no free lunch here. There's no easy answer. I think we have to, you know, acknowledge that going in. I think the best check on, you know, misinformation and untruth and so on is to run it to ground and to use the legal rights and remedies that we have that can be potent to hold accountable the people who create the misinformation. The fact that it might be new technology or an algorithm that does it, I don't think should confound us, because algorithms are really, in a legal sense, no different than text. People, in the end, are going to be responsible, not algorithms. If the law takes that approach, people are responsible, not algorithms, then I think we'll have, you know, a ready solution here, and we don't need to be flummoxed.
Former Congressman Chris Cox. If you want to know more about those Supreme Court rulings we mentioned, they were in Twitter versus Tamina and Google versus Gonzalez, two cases that sought to make social media platforms liable for terrorist content. The court ruled Twitter couldn't be held liable for aiding and abetting terrorists under an anti-terrorism law. That meant they didn't really get into interpreting Section 230 and kicked the Google case back to the lower court. These decisions were highly anticipated because they could have radically changed how the internet works. We talked about the possibilities with Eric Goldman at Santa Clara University School of Law back when the court decided to take the cases up last year. But these aren't the last big cases involving social media. The Supreme Court delayed taking up some challenges to state laws in Texas and Florida that attempt to regulate how social media platforms moderate content. Those laws have been blocked from taking effect in the meantime. Stanford's Daphne Keller told us earlier this year the Supreme Court will most likely hear the cases during its next session, just in time for the presidential election. Rosie Hughes produced this episode. Jesus Alvarado and Daniel Shin also produce our show. Lydia Morell is our intern. Brian Allison is our engineer. Daisy Palacios is the interim senior producer. Kelly Silvera is our executive producer. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.